Thank you, praise team. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Typically, when a preacher says turn to Luke chapter 2, it's because it's Christmas time. Luke chapter 2 contains the story of the birth of Christ, but tonight, or this morning, we're going to be looking at an individual who displays a great amount of patience. And so if you have your Bible, or turn with me to Luke chapter 2, we're going to continue our series on the fruit of the Spirit. And so we talked a few weeks ago about love, 2 weeks ago about joy, last week about peace, and today on patience. Now, how many of you all have done your homework and memorized Galatians 5, 22 through 23? Right, a handful of you? Good, we got more hands every single week. Galatians 5, 22 through 23. Now, I'm going to share the verse with you this morning. It's not up on the screen because we don't have screens, but I hope that you'll be memorizing it. If you have memorized it, you may not get all the words exactly right, but let's at least say those 9 fruit together. Those are all pretty much the same. So, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against these things there is no law. So we have learned so far 3 fruit of the Spirit. We have 6 to go. And I want to remind you that when we look at the fruit of the Spirit, these are not qualities that are given to us. These are qualities that we show and we share. So when we become a Christian, it's not that we all of a sudden receive love, it's that we now are individuals who give love. It's not that we receive a joyful attitude, but we work to bear the fruit of joy and have joy in our hearts. And of course, last week we talked about having peace. And it's easy for us to think of receiving the peace of God, but we are to be peacemakers, bearing the fruit of peace. So this morning is a fun one. We've had love, joy, peace, and now we are talking about patience. I see several of you shaking your heads. I thought there'd be just one of you, but you know, several of you shaking your heads. You know, we all want to have patience. How many of you all have ever prayed, God, give me patience? You pray that? Okay. How many of you all then had a miserable next few weeks? Usually that's how it works. We have this idea, God, give me patience. God, I need to have patience. God, now that I'm a Christian, will you put patience on me? And just like the first 3 fruits of the Spirit, we realize that patience is not something we receive. It's something that we bear. It's something that we show. So instead of praying a prayer, God, give me patience, maybe we need to say, God, make me a patient person. Show me how to be patient with others and with you. There's a story of a man who was walking through a grocery store and he noticed a woman with her young daughter. And as they passed the cookie section, the child asked for cookies and her mother said no. And the little girl proceeded to throw a temper tantrum and throw a fit right there in the grocery store. So the mother, very quietly, said, now Ellen, we have just half the aisles left to go. Don't be upset, it won't be long. Well, they kind of went their separate ways, and a few aisles later, the man saw the mother and her daughter again, passing in the candy aisle. And again, the little girl starts throwing a temper tantrum, begging for candy. The mother again says no, and says that, there, there, Ellen, don't cry. Only 2 more aisles to go, and then we'll be checking out. Well, the man, as luck would have it, ended up behind them in the aisle to check out. And the little girl was again begging for gum from the checkout. You know, those candy that's right there. Just, Mom, I want gum. And once again, the mother patiently says, Ellen, we'll be through this checkout stand in 5 minutes, and then you can go home and you can have a nice nap. Well, the man followed them out of the parking lot and stopped the woman to compliment her, and he said, I just couldn't help but notice how patient you were with little Ellen. And the mother stopped him and said, my little girl's name is Tammy. I'm Ellen. Yeah. One thing that kids teach us is how much patience we have, right? We learn very quickly whether we're patient or not, and many of us just wish we could go home and have a nice nap. So how do we receive patience this morning? What does patience look like? I've heard one preacher talk about patience this way. Patience is waiting without complaining. And I'll be honest, I don't like that definition so much for a couple of reasons. One, it requires waiting, and two, it requires not complaining. Those are two things we're just not very good at. I'll say this though, I think patience is more than complaining or waiting without complaining. That seems very passive to me. That seems as if we would just sit back and just allow life to happen without actively working on bearing the fruit of patience. So this morning, I want to look at a man in Luke chapter 2 who bared patience for a long time. We're going to read about him, and then we're going to see how we can bear patience as individuals. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Luke chapter 2. We're going to be reading verses 25 through 32 together about a man named Simeon. Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 25. There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to Israel's consolation, and the Holy Spirit was on him. Now, Israel's consolation is referring to a coming Messiah. He's looking forward to the promises of the Old Testament that a Messiah would be born. Verse 26. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he saw the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, he entered the temple. When the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to perform for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him up in his arms, praised God, and said, "Now, Master, you can dismiss your servant in peace as you promised. For my eyes have seen your salvation. You've prepared it in the presence of all the peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and glory to your people, Israel." Here is a man, Simeon, who has been told by the Holy Spirit, "You will see the coming Messiah before you die." With your own eyes, this is a promise that's given to him to physically see the coming Messiah. Now, there have been promises for hundreds and hundreds and thousands of years that a Messiah was coming. And each generation thought this was the time he would come. And yet Simeon is the only one that we know of that knew, "Before I die, this Messiah will be born." And he is waiting patiently. We don't get the impression that Simeon is a young man. We get the impression that he is well advanced in years. Now, we don't know that for a fact, but it seems to be from this passage that Simeon is not in his youth, because he has been waiting and looking forward to the Lord's consolation, the coming of the Messiah. And this is someone who, day after day, faithfully waited for God's promise to be fulfilled. What a great example of patience for you and I. Day after day, waiting for what God has already promised to us. We're going to look at what it looks like in our life to bear patience. And if you have your bulletin, there are some notes in there you can follow along. We can fill in some blanks to understand what it looks like when you and I are patient people. For starters, we bear patience when we accept God's timing. We bear patience when we accept God's timing. But this is the part of the waiting in patience. We talk about waiting without complaining. It's understanding that God's timing is better than our timing. It's understanding that when God is working in our lives, He is not surprised by the length of time it takes. And it's understanding that you and I would demand things today and now that God knows is best for us down the road. We are a society that does not like waiting for anything. I heard patience described this way. Patience is the virtue you admire in the driver behind you and you hate in the driver in front of you, right? We want to get where we're going as fast as we can get there. You sit in a drive-thru. Now, I won't name which drive-thrus are slow in Robinson. We put this online, and I wouldn't badmouth any drive-thru. But Hardee's is really slow. You know? How many of you all have been sitting in the Hardee's drive-thru or McDonald's drive-thru or Dairy Queen drive-thru, and it took, oh my goodness, 60 full seconds for them to get your food from the time you paid to put it in your car? You know, 60 seconds is a long time to sit there and wait. And we complain and we gripe because we want it now. slogans for fast food restaurants even will tell you, you deserve it now. It's your way right away, right? It's all about you and how quickly you can get what you want. We have no patience in our society, and we don't respect the timing of anyone else except ourselves. You know, it's funny when other people are slow to fulfill promises, how impatient we are, how upset we get because they're not moving as fast as we want them to move. And yet when it takes us a little bit of time, over and over again, we tell people, please just have patience with me. Just wait a minute. I'll get to what I promised. Just give me a moment. When we are patient people, we must accept God's timing. I wonder how many years it had been since Simeon heard the promise that he would see the Messiah, and how many years it took before he actually saw Jesus Christ. We have no idea. Honestly, because I don't want to read in the scripture, it could have been 30 minutes. We don't know. But we get the impression that it had been years and maybe decades. For all we know, Simeon had been told as a young boy that he would see the coming Messiah. And day after day, he would wait and look to see if that Messiah was here. And days would turn into weeks, would turn into months, would turn into years, would possibly turn into decades. And Simeon continued to look forward and wait. You and I have received a lot of promises from God in Scripture. We have personal goals and personal dreams that we believe God is calling us to fulfill, and yet, for some reason or another, they have not been fulfilled in our lives. We know that they're good ideas. We know that they're good plans. We know that it's something God-honoring, and yet God has just not allowed it to happen. I almost used this morning as an example of patience. In 1 Samuel, the beginning chapter, or two chapters, is a woman named Hannah. And maybe you find yourself in a position of Hannah, where you have waited years and years and years to have a child. What is God honoring? And I need this child. I want this child. So I'm praying for this child. Maybe you've been there begging and pleading, God, why won't you bless me with a family? And God says it's in my time. Yes. Maybe for you it's been a job opportunity. You know that it's out there and you want it and you can taste it and it's so close. Lord, it would just be so much better if this would open up. And you know ultimately God wants to grant you that promotion or that move, but for now he's saying it's not time yet. Just wait. Maybe for you it's something else. Maybe it's with a family member who's gone astray, a son or a daughter who has run away from church and you're praying, Lord, I know your will is to bring them to salvation and to know you. And why won't you answer this for me? And it's so hard for us to accept the timing of God. Maybe it's a healing that you're praying for. Maybe it's some other circumstance in life. But if we're going to be patient, we must accept that God's timing is better than our own timing. That ultimately, what God fulfills in our life is better than what we would fulfill on our own. When Hannah and I were newly married, only a year or so, we wanted to have children, like many of you all. We had none, and we were ecstatic when she became pregnant. So excited that we were going to be welcoming a new child into our family. And again, for reasons that we don't understand, God took that child in the womb, and we no longer had that child with us. And we were rightly so upset and terrified. Lord, why won't you give us this child? This is a wonderful gift. And lo and behold, about a year later, we become pregnant again. And through all the stress and fears and anxieties, God blessed us with our oldest daughter, Callie, who we would not trade for anything in the world. Well, most days. We wouldn't trade for anything in the world. You know, I often think, had we had that first child, it would have been impossible for us to have Callie. The overlay of being 9 months pregnant and then having to wait a certain amount of time after, it would have been impossible. And when I look back, I didn't understand God's timing in taking that child and putting us off having a kid. And now I look at my oldest daughter and I think, God, your timing is perfect. I couldn't have done it any better. But when we are patient, we understand that God's timing is better than our timing. Patience works the other way around as well. Sometimes we are impatient. We want things now, and we get them now, and we realize that that's not what was best for us. Or maybe we got something now, but we thought we weren't ready for it yet. God, your timing is not right. Why did you open this job opportunity now? I can't take that job now. Lord, why did you bless me with a child now? I'm excited. That's wonderful, but we don't have the finances. We're not ready. We don't have the house. God, why did you take my loved one now? We weren't ready to depart. Patience goes two ways. It's understanding God's timing in the long term and in the short term. And we bear patience when we look at God and say, your timing is better than our timing. The timeline that you have ultimately is better than my own. There's a second very important part of patience, because it's more than just waiting without complaining. It's more than just understanding the timing of God. We bear patience when we accept God's timing while seeking God's will. We bear patience when we accept God's timing while seeking God's will. And this is important. It's one thing for us to say we won't complain and we'll put up with whatever God gives us. It's another thing to say, God, your will in my life is what's more important than anything else. Where was Simeon when he finally was able to see the Messiah? He had been led by the Spirit, guided by the Spirit to enter the temple and to worship. As a matter of fact, we see that in verse 25, he was a righteous and devout man. This is not someone who just happened to wander into the temple complex. So this is a man who on a regular basis went when he was called to and worshiped God. This is a man who prayed to God regularly. This is a man who gave and served his life for the cause of God the Father. This is a man who was close enough to God that he could hear the Holy Spirit when it talked to him. This was a righteous and devout man who wanted God's will more than anything else. And so here, as God calls him, go into the temple. I wonder if it was his normal time to go or not. I would imagine it was not. Now, they would have a big worship service on Saturday or Friday night and Saturday. And so possibly, perhaps, this was a Friday, Saturday, but I kind of think it wasn't. Because it took the Spirit guiding him there. It took something in the back of his mind to say, why don't you go to the temple today? I would imagine him hearing that voice and going, God, I don't know why you would want me to do that. It's not the right day. It's not time for me to go. But God, if you're calling me to do it, I'll be obedient. So oftentimes being patient is not passively waiting, but actively listening. Actively saying, God, what is my next step? Sometimes God says your next step is to sit and to wait. Sometimes he says your next step is to move and to act. But if we're going to be patient, we have to be actively listening to say, Lord, I want your will. That way, when you open a door, I'm ready to move. I'm ready to go. We must accept God's timing, and we must seek God's will. Now, if you think this sounds very familiar to a different fruit that we talked about a couple weeks ago, it does. If you remember when we talked about the fruit of joy, it was all wrapped up in understanding God's will for our life, understanding God's working in our life as a blessing. And there is, no doubt, a connection between the fruit of joy and the fruit of patience. Both of them center around understanding God's will in our life, wanting God's will in our life. And you know what I found? The more patient we are, the more joyful we are. And the other way around, the more joyful of an attitude we have, accepting the will of God in our lives, the more patient we become. I think that they go hand in hand, and one feeds into the other. So maybe this morning you feel like you've not been very patient. You don't understand God's timing in your life, and you're not sure why God would let things happen the way he did. You have a will and a plan that you feel is better than his will and his plan. This morning, I would imagine you find yourself also lacking joy and wondering why you don't feel good, why you don't get excited about God moving in your life. And vice versa, if you feel down and depressed and can't feel that energy that you get from serving and worshiping God, I would imagine it's because you're impatient and there are demands you have on God right now. That God's timing is not ready to allow you to experience. I wonder this morning if we can just surrender and acknowledge that God knows better than we know.
that God's ways are better than our ways, and His will is better than our will. This same patience applies not only in our relationship with God, but with our relationship with others as well. Again, patience is understanding the timing of God. Just this week, I had someone ask me, and I didn't get a chance to fully talk back to them. Maybe they're watching this morning. Ask me a question about how they can have more patience with their children. And you know, I'm not a child psychologist, and so if you're looking for advice on parenting, you can ask my kids. I'm probably not the person to ask advice on parenting. But if you want to know what Scripture says, I believe the principle that we talked about here applies the same. It's understanding God's timing with our children. That they're not as mature as we want them to be, and that's okay. God's growing them because we're faithfully bringing them up in the ways and the will of God. And so we can understand that they're not as ready as we want them to be. We can be patient. Maybe it's patience with a coworker. They really aggravate you. And honestly, we've kind of made our preferences and priorities to be more important than their own. We've kind of said it's really aggravating me, and we never thought what's best for them. Never sought out their will and their desires and what they need. And just as we have patience with God by acknowledging, God, I'm going to surrender to your will, maybe patience requires you looking at that coworker or that family member, whoever it is you're lacking patience with, and putting their needs above your own. Saying, you know what, I'm going to just serve them instead of demand from them. Simeon was a man who was looking forward to the coming Messiah. He was a man who was faithful in serving his God. And he was a man who had great patience. Another example in Scripture that we find of extreme patience is God Himself. You know, we have the question, and we'll close with this. Why is there so much evil and suffering and hurt in the world? Why doesn't God's timing fix and correct that now? And there's a really simple answer that I want you to hear and know, because I want you to understand the patience of God. There will come a day when God completely and totally makes everything perfect. And in our timing, we want Him to do it now. But God is patient with us. Maybe you're within my earshot, or maybe you're watching online, and you're sitting there and you're saying, God needs to come back today and just call us home. I mean, maybe it's because you're secure in your faith in Christ and you're ready and you're prepared for His coming. But God is patient because there's more than just us who have accepted Christ and He's waiting on. God allows evil and suffering in the world not because He enjoys it, but because there is someone, somewhere, who still needs to accept the message of salvation. And He is not ready to come back and completely wipe out sin and make everything perfect until that individual, those individuals, have responded to the gospel message. God is patient with you and with I. He's patient with us. There was a time when we were lost, and had He been impatient and wiped out sin and made things perfect, we would spend eternity separated from heaven and hell. And yet His patient love waited for us. This morning, He's patiently waiting on you. He's patiently waiting for you to surrender to His will. Waiting for you to confess your sins and say, I need forgiveness, Lord. Waiting for you to say, I'll follow your word and your ways. Waiting for you to surrender patiently. Allowing the mess of this world to continue just so that you will have an opportunity to hear His salvation and respond. I wonder this morning if we would embrace the patience of God and say, I'm done living life my own way. God, thank you for your patience, and I surrender to you this morning. Let's pray together as we close. Father, I'm thankful for the patience of Simeon as an example of waiting in your will. But Lord, I'm even more thankful for the patience you have with me. Well, I don't know when your timing will be to bring about the final judgment of the world and call all of your children home to you. And Lord, we look forward to that day just as Simeon looked forward to the coming Messiah. But Lord, we wait patiently because we know you are a patient God. Lord, there are those who are listening to this message even now who have asked that question, why doesn't God just wipe out evil? And Lord, right now you're speaking to them saying that you can wipe out the evil in their own heart and offer them salvation. You're waiting for them to respond to you. Lord, we thank you for your patience with us. I thank you for your patience with me. And I pray then that I can be patient with others, putting their needs before my own, understanding that your timing is perfect and following and seeking your will in my life. Lord, don't just make me a patient person. Let me bear the fruit of patience. Let me be someone who is active in my way, who is listening for you to speak and looking for your will in my life. Lord, I thank you again for the patience you have with us. It's in your name we pray. Amen.